This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Hello, it has been a minute since I podcasted. I took a little bit of a break. It was just like the end of the school year, so busy with like the end of the year parties, and my oldest graduated middle school and our parents were in town. My husband took the boys camping and took my father-in-law with them. So I had a couple days, just me and my mom, and we did like a spa day and we went shopping one day and just kind of had some chill girl time, which like almost never happens in my life because I have all boys and a husband. And then this week my husband's gone for business and my mom is still here. So I'm basically just like running around between hanging with my mom and the kids and so busy with work stuff. And like, I'm trying to be really mindful of like taking care of myself. So just keeping up with my routine with like my morning, early morning workouts and all that stuff. And, you know, it's always a challenge when the schedule changes and we're in summer mode now. So yeah, that's just what I've been doing. But I literally just put the kids to bed. I think my mom's already asleep and my husband's not here because he's on a business trip. And I'm like, you know, why don't I just podcast now? Which I never do. My favorite is to podcast in the morning. I just feel energized. I feel fresh. I feel like my mind works the best. It's my favorite time to have guests on. But, you know, this is mom life. And I've been thinking a lot about this topic and this episode. So I was like, let's just do it. Yeah. And really this whole thing started because, well, it's been 20 years since I graduated high school. I am class of 2004, 04 baby. I can't even process the fact that I'm old enough to say I graduated 20 years ago. Like the high school teenage girls that work for me at Lemon right now were born after I graduated high school. Like it just blows my mind. Like I don't feel like I'm old enough to be in that category, but I am. It's so surreal. I remember I saw this video a long time ago and it was an older lady. I believe she was like in her 70s or maybe 80s. And someone was asking her about aging and how she feels and like something like that. And she said, it's the weirdest thing to look in the mirror and to see that you're old, but like inside you still feel young. Like you don't feel that old. And you look in the mirror and you're like, who's that person? And that always stuck with me because I'm like, that's kind of sad that one day, you know, I could look in the mirror and be like 70, 80, 90 and just be like, who is that wrinkly old lady? You know, like that's not me. So anyways, I don't know why I brought that up. Like I don't feel necessarily that I look bad or I look old. I actually feel like I look pretty good for my age, but obviously, you know, nothing's perfect on my face or my body. Like there's definitely a lot that has changed since graduating high school, but I just like processing the amount of things that I have done in the last 20 years is crazy. Like, it's a different lifetime. I'm a different person completely. I think of my high school self and, oh man, you guys, I don't even know how to describe her. First of all, I always thought of myself as like a big dork. Like, I was like, I wasn't popular. I didn't party. I think I went to 2 parties ever, and that included like the summer going into college. I just didn't party. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I had no interest in any of that kind of stuff. My mom was really strict, so I wasn't allowed to like highlight my hair or get a belly button piercing or like all that stuff that was like cool back then, which, by the way, thank God that she didn't let me do any of that stuff. The highlights were hideous. There were those big chunky whatever. And I had my virgin hair till I was 30. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. After I had my youngest, I just felt like I needed a change, and I went and like dyed my hair blonde pretty much. I mean, it was highlights, but it was pretty much my whole head. And yeah, so I'm like so grateful that like my mom was strict and I didn't do any of that stuff. I barely wore any makeup. I actually wasn't allowed to wear makeup, I don't think, until junior year. And even once I did get to wear makeup, like, I didn't really know how to use makeup. I loved like mascara and like bronzer, but I had like perfect skin. Perfect skin. I mean, people used to stop me in the street and ask me like what kind of face wash I use or makeup I use, because my skin was like so perfect, which I really didn't appreciate at the time. And like, I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend until senior year. And then I had a boyfriend senior year. I mean, I'm just trying to think, like, I was just so focused on friends, sports, school, but like, I wasn't a straight A student, but I feel like I was the student that every single teacher loved. Like, I was respectful. I loved to be organized. I had like my binder organized. I always had like my pencil, my paper, like whatever. But school, I don't know. Like, I just didn't get straight A's, but I got okay grades. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just kind of, I cared enough to get the job done, but not to like study enough to get straight A's, if that makes sense. Which, looking back, I don't know why. Like, looking back, I'm like, oh, I should have worked harder. I could have got straight A's and maybe went to a better school. But also, like, who cares? I don't know. Like, but I just, yeah, I always felt like I was such a dork because I just kind of like didn't care about a lot of the stuff everyone else cared about. And or my mom was so strict, I wasn't allowed to be a part of a lot of that stuff. And I think there was like one time I was saying to someone like, oh, I was such a dork in high school. And then I looked at one of my good friends and I said, and you know, one of my friends from high school, and I said, right? And she looked at me dead serious and was like, not at all. Like, everyone knew you. And I was like, what? And then it dawned on me that like, yeah, I wasn't part of like the popular group, because that group was just very grown up. They were doing drugs, they were drinking, they were, you know, I don't know, just like in a whole different realm. Like, I was a kid being a kid. Like, I was literally like, how do I put makeup on, you know? And these people were like, you know, doing blow. Like, it's like a whole different world. But then I realized, oh, like, I was friendly and bubbly, and I had a lot of energy. And I was just nice to everyone, like, for the most part, I think. Like, I don't think I was ever mean to anyone. Like, I was just nice to everyone. So I did, like, know everybody, I think. I don't know. But I just, it was, just, that always stood out to me, where I was like, oh, like, she's right. Like, I knew everyone. I had a social personality and I was nice to everyone. But, like, you wouldn't find me at the parties or whatever. Like, I wasn't like dating freshman year. Actually, the funniest thing, freshman year, I entered into high school with a unibrow. I think actually all of freshman year I had a unibrow. I mean, you know, some things it's like, come on, mom, like you should have let me take care of that. Like that's aggressive. But then, you know, you look at that versus like some of the girls today, and I'm like, they just seem so grown up. Like, why are we not having our kids be kids still? But whatever, that's a whole different topic. I don't have girls, so I also feel like I should just shut my mouth when it comes to that stuff. But yeah, I was just a kid being a kid in high school, pretty much. And I did have a little bit of a sense of like, okay, I'm graduating and I don't necessarily have to see these people ever again. But like, funny enough, then like social media became more of a thing, and then we all just like stayed in touch for 2 decades through social media, if not other ways. So yeah, weird. Just like a really weird world of that I've had the last 20 years since graduating high school. But you know, between hitting that mark of 20 years, like my school didn't do a reunion, and plus I'm in Nashville, so I don't know if I would have been able to go. But you know, basically, like that 20-year mark, anniversary, whatever you want to call it, and the fact that I own Lemon and I'm constantly hiring and having these young Gen Z girls working for me. I mean, I've had Lemon for what, like 7 years, like since 2017. So I've had the Gen Zers for a while now, and I don't know. I just feel like I have a list of things that I wish I would have known when I was their age. And that's what I'm gonna do. I literally have a list of 10, and you know, take it or leave it, play this for your daughter, whatever. But I just feel like some of this stuff, I wish someone would have just said to me. Like, I really wish someone would have just sat me down and been like, listen up, this is the real deal. So that's what I'm gonna do. And some of it might be a little harsh. Some of it might, you know, ruffle some feathers, but that's the whole point of the Line podcast. I don't care. I just lay it out there and people can take it for what it is. So, number one on the list, learn how to. And then fill in the blank. Learn how to interview well, text, email properly, shake a hand, formal dinners, write a thank you note, taxes, finances. Like these are basic life etiquette things that you need to understand, and also valuable things that you need to know so that you can properly adult. And I just feel like it's so basic, but also so powerful. I was in a business fraternity in college. Yes, they called it a frat because it was co-ed. And I, of course, did it for my resume. And we had one event where they taught us how to do a formal dinner. I learned like where the bread goes, where your water goes, what each utensil is for, what was proper etiquette for like how to eat your bread, like just all the things. So learn all of that because you are going to be in situations. Maybe it's a work event, maybe it's a first date, maybe it's whatever, fill in the blank. You don't want to look like you know, a giraffe falling over, not knowing what you're doing. Please perfect your interview skills. Let me give you guys some tips because I interview people all the time. I own a business, I'm the boss. I interview and vet every single person, and I hire and train every single person that works at Lemon, period. Even when we had store managers, when I had 2 locations of Lemon, I still did all of that because it was a very crucial part of the business. And let me tell you this. One, always show up to an interview prepared. Print out your resume. I don't care what year it is. Print it out, hand it to the person, let them have something to look at while they're talking to you, something they can reference, something they can take notes on. Obviously, look presentable. One tip my mom taught me early on, I've always had long hair. I still have long hair. She said, when you go to an interview, just pull your hair back. Just put it in a low ponytail, pull it back, be put together. Just come off a little bit more professional. And that's always stuck with me. I do it, well, when I was in corporate, I did it for every interview. Obviously, now I don't interview, but, you know, it kind of always stuck with me. You know, be very engaged with the interview and always come with your own questions. I can tell you that the girls that ask me why I named Lemon Lemon, I almost always hire, because I'm like, oh, wait a minute. First of all, they actually care. It's not just like some random interview. They just want to work somewhere, some boutique. It's like they actually care about Lemon. And they want to know more. Tell me about Lemon. How did it get its name? Things like that. Like, literally hit it out of the park. As soon as they ask me that question, I smile real big and I'm like, they got it, right? So, and also remember that when you're going to an interview, it goes both ways. You're also vetting them to make sure it's a good fit for you. So as much as you want to be agreeable and excited for the position and just be like, I'm down for whatever, just please hire me, you also want to show that you have value in yourself and value in what you end up saying yes to as a job, even if it's just a high school job. So come with some questions. It could be as simple as, what's the dress code? Or, you know, what do you look for in a candidate? Like, whatever, just come with something. Don't just sit there with a blank stare. That's not fun. And that's not memorable. You know, writing a thank you note. I don't know where I learned this, but you are to handwrite a thank you note. That's always way more powerful than an email or whatever. Always put, like, let's say you're thanking someone for a gift, like, thank you so much for that crystal bowl. And then you always want to say in the thank you note what you did with the bowl. So you could say, I love the bowl so much. I put it on my vanity and I get to look at it every day. Or, you know, I use it to put candy on my desk, whatever. Like, you can literally just say what you're doing with the item. It makes the person feel good. Like, oh, they went out of their way to find this beautiful crystal bowl for you. And now they know that you actually like it and you're actually using it. That's the whole point of a thank you note. Or it's like, thank you so much for your help when I was going through that tough time. Like, everything you've done has meant so much to me. Again, you're showing them how much you're thankful or whatever. And then things like learning taxes and finance and stuff like that. That's just like life 101. I mean, I have a business degree, so some of that stuff was part of getting my degree. But if, you know, let's say you become a teacher, like, you're probably not getting any finance classes. Taxes, I feel like, are so tricky. I feel like I still need courses in taxes, especially as a business owner. But as much as you can, like, learn and absorb early on, the better. Like, you're just better off. So just start learning, observing, like, just do all the things and just feel like you can be respectable in any setting. You could be texting someone, networking, and not feel like, you know, you're not doing it right. You know, and I bring up texting specifically because Gen Z likes to text very short. They like to text with these weird codes. Like, we don't know what you're saying, you know? So have a little bit of professionalism and a little bit of oomph to your texting. It'll take you far. Number two, try everything you're interested in. Explore. Learn. Do all the things. You want to learn to cook? Go take cooking classes. Go to cooking school. Like, literally just go. Become a chef, even though you don't want to be a chef. Like, you want to learn a language? Go learn language. You want to try guitar? Do guitar. You want to take an internship at a fashion PR company? Do it. Just check it out. Like, commit to 3 months or whatever. Just do all the things you're into, because you're young. You have the time. You have the capability. You are able to do like an internship for free and it's not weird, you know? You're able to ask someone to be a mentor, like do all the things. Let's say your dream company is Skims. I'm just like making this up. And that's just like your dream company one day. Well, go like ask to shadow for a day, ask for an internship. It could be a free internship. Let them know how interested you are, but you're young and you're in school, and see if they have any programs for students. Like you just, a lot of companies love that kind of stuff because they do need the extra help and you're either for free or cheap labor, honestly, but like, who cares? Because if you get your foot in the door and it's your dream company and you're able to absorb everything from everyone and you're learning and you're asking questions, that can be more powerful than any school. So really sit down and make a list of like all the things you're into and just go for it, because it's a lot harder when you're older. Like I'm a wife and a mom now. I can't just get up and go to Italy for 3 months and, you know, learn to make pasta from scratch. Like that's not going to happen. Like I have responsibilities. I have a business. Like that doesn't happen. So take advantage of all of your free time. And I promise you, no matter how busy you feel, no matter how tired you feel, you have so much free time right now. You have no idea. So take full advantage. Do all the things. Learn all the things. Try all the things. You might actually love the idea of a fashion PR internship, and then you go into it and 1 month later you're like, I hate this job. It's like, great, at least you tried it. Move on. What's the next thing you want to do? Number three is be very careful who you spend your time with. You know, they always say like the five people closest to you, like kind of like are a reflection of who you really are, or like whatever they say. Kind of is true, but especially when you're young, who you spend your time with becomes your everything. Not only is that your friendships, but it becomes your future husband, future wife. It becomes your networking, whether it's professional or personal networking. It becomes your place where you learn. It becomes your everything. So listen, if you look around right now and you're like, this is not the level of what I want to surround myself with, that's fine. You're young. Make big changes. And some of that naturally happens. You leave high school, you go to college, you're going to make new friends, you're going to be around new people, you graduate college, you go into the workforce. Like it's very natural. But just be mindful that who you spend your time with really dictates where your life goes. I heard a stat recently that said, you know, affluent people, affluent children, they don't continue to be rich because their parents had money. They continue to be rich because of who they have access to. So whatever your dreams are, whatever your goals are, whatever you want from your life, think about that with who you're spending your time with. And that can literally change the course of your life. I mean, I met my husband at work. So I chose my career path. He chose his career path, and we met each other and now been together for 13 years, 13 and a half years, you know? So it's like, it does matter. Like, so really be mindful of every step that you take. Who am I giving my energy to? Who am I giving my time to? Who am I surrounding myself with? And is it worth it? Okay. And then number four, save your money, and buy a house. I wish so much that I did this. I was lucky. I didn't have any like school debt or anything. My parents paid for that, but I worked in high school, I actually lied to get my first job because I wasn't old enough, which I don't recommend. But, you know, I was just hungry. Like, I wanted this one job. It was at a store called Zootopia, if anyone remembers. I thought it was cool at the time. And in the interview, they said, "Are you 16?" I was 15 and I panicked and I said, "Yeah, of course." And I got the job. But I was just hungry. Like, I worked pretty much all through high school. I worked all through college, and I don't know where that money went. Like, what? I don't know what I did. Like, I spent it at Forever 21. I went out to eat. Like, I probably bought some stuff, like furniture for my apartment. Like, I don't know what I did with that money. Like, I really don't. But I wish I would have saved it. And then I wish I would have saved more when I went into my corporate job. I mean, there was a point where, guys, I was killing it. Like, I was in outside sales. I was doing really well for myself. I was getting these huge commission checks. And I should have just saved it and put it down on a house and bought a house. Even if it's like a condo or a townhome, because obviously I was in the Bay Area and it's not a cheap area. I should have just bought a house, buy property. Like, I don't know enough about stocks and things like that to tell you to do that, but invest. You're young and you just feel like you got all the time in the world and you're making decent money, but not a lot of money, and you just don't think long term enough. But you can do it. Even if you have to hustle for a couple years, just do it. Work two jobs. Like, do what you gotta do, because things like owning income properties that can generate money for you for the rest of your life, like, that's life changing. So I really wish someone would have told me that, but no one did. And I don't know where that money went. Who knows? Spent on shit that doesn't matter. Like, literally blew that money on who knows what. Number five, skincare. For some reason, Gen Z is obsessed with skincare. I don't know why. Listen to me, ladies. Listen, and I don't care how old you are. You could be my age, older, whatever. Skincare is a business. They're in business for you to buy their products and to continue to buy their products. So then they fear you into buying their products. So, you know, they tell you that it's anti-aging. You need it so you don't get wrinkles. They tell you it helps you prevent acne. They tell you it helps you glow or sunspots. They tell you you have to have this 7-step skincare routine in order to have healthy, good skin. It's all bullshit, you guys. Bullshit. You don't need any of that. I have been so basic with my skincare. So basic. I do face wash. I used to do a toner from Clinique way back in the day, which I just don't do anymore. And then I do moisturizer, eye cream, and that's it. That's it. I don't even know what other people do. Like, when I go to get a facial and they're like, "Oh, do you use retinol, retin-A, da, da, da?" I'm like, "No." Like, I don't even know what that is. You know, it's like vitamin C serum? No, I don't do anything. I do the basics. I get the makeup off my face. I get the oil off my skin. Like, even if I don't wear makeup for a day, I just wash my face to just, you know, get the day off my face. That's it. And my moisturizer is very light and fluffy. I do not use sunscreen. Do not use sunscreen. Sunscreen is a bunch of chemicals that clog your pores and soak into your skin, which is your largest organ of your body. And all that chemicals go into your bloodstream and make you sick and cause cancer. Go figure. So, you know, I'll do a little bit of sunscreen at the beach, at the pool. Honestly, I don't even use sunscreen if I'm going to a baseball game. Like, it's not necessary. Put a hat on. Like, no. And again, these are the kind of things I'm going to say that's going to ruffle some feathers, but I don't really care. I'm almost 38 years old and I have really good skin. I just do. And I think a lot of it is genetic. I'm 100% Persian. We've got good skin. I'm blessed. But I also just like don't do a lot to my face. I get a hydrofacial once a quarter. I should do that more often, but once a quarter. I do a face mask once in a while. I do a face scrub once in a while, and then that's it. Just my washing, moisturizing, and eye cream, and that's it. And I really believe that part of the reason why I don't look super aged is because of all that stuff. It's because I don't put a bunch of crap on my face. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I wear makeup. But I'm really diligent to take it off. Take it off and not go crazy with serums. Also, I'm a big fan of lemon. Cut a lemon in half, rub it on your face, rub it on your neck, rub it on your like upper chest area where your collarbone is, rub it on the back of your hands. My grandmother taught me that. It makes your skin soft, makes you have a bit of a glow. It's like a natural brightener. If you have like a pimple or something, it burns it. It hurts, but it feels so good at the same time because you're like, burn that off, please. Like, let's get rid of that. And yeah, there, that's natural vitamin C serum for your skin. You know, I think, but here's the deal. These businesses, these skincare businesses, they can't make any money off of you cutting a lemon and rubbing it on your face. They can't make any money if you get natural aloe vera and put it on a scar, right? Like, so we have to get a little smart. We have to do our research and we have to cut it out. Like, this is all BS. I'm really happy about telling you guys number five. Okay, number six, you guys, get married, have babies, build a home, build a life with this person. Like, that's what life's about. And for some reason, my generation and your generation, Gen Z, we've been told that that's bullshit. We've been told that we should be an independent woman and we don't need a man, and wait, you know, put your career first and wait to get married, wait to have kids. You have all the time in the world now because of technology. We've been told to freeze our eggs. I'm here to tell you that we have been fed a lie, an absolute lie. I guarantee that in no way, shape, or form will you regret getting married and having kids early on, but you could 100% regret if you wait. There have been many women that have waited that ended up not being able to have kids or ended up just having one because they feel like they're too old to have more. You know, there are women that waited and then have a hard time finding a partner. And I'm specifically talking about women in this because, quite frankly, we are the ones with the biological clock ticking. And I love that no one wants to talk about that anymore. But it's a real thing. They say after the age of 35, you're considered high risk pregnancy. It's considered way more difficult to get pregnant. Does it happen? Of course it does. I mean, there are people in their 50s having babies, you know? But there's a reason why our bodies are naturally wired this way, right? When you're younger and you have a baby, your body can bounce back. Your body can heal faster. You also have more patience for motherhood or fatherhood. You also are a lot more okay with like kind of the hustle of the baby stuff, where I just think the older you become very complacent, tired. Like, I don't know. I just want Gen Z to hear that this, you know, narrative that you've been told your whole life is complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. And also you have to think about like how long you will be a mother or father. Like, me and my husband were talking about this the other day, and between all three of our kids, we are parenting for 25 years total. 25 years. 25 years of our life is parenting these children and getting them to adulthood, right? And obviously we're going to be their parents for the rest of our lives and their lives and all of our lives. But 25 years from baby to adulthood for all three of them, right? So like, I don't know. It's just, I can't imagine starting that later. Like, I was done having kids before I turned 30. I was 29 when I had my youngest. 2-3 months later, I turned 30. And I always wanted to like be done by 30, but I always thought it was like a weird thing I wanted. But I'm so happy that it happened that way. But I'm just like trying to do the math in my head. So I was almost 30 when I had Rush. So when I turn 60, Rush is gonna be 30. Like, that's crazy. Like, whoo. Like, I want to be around for all the things. Like, I want to be here for my grandkids. I want to be here to see them in their adulthood. Like, this is just like real life. And for some reason, again, they love to push this narrative, especially on women, but they also do it on the boys. Like, they, you know, boys are told like, oh, go party. Like, you can settle down at any point. Like, just go party. But I know guys now that are in their 40s and creeping towards 50 and are still not married with kids. And quite frankly, it's a sad life. It's a sad life. Like, you don't get to spend your moments with someone special. You don't have your, you don't have children. Like children give such a purpose that like nothing else can give you. It's sad. But like 15 years ago, like, it was cool. Like, they were like partying and like doing whatever they want and like dating supermodels, but they never settled down. And now it's like pathetic. It's like the Leonardo DiCaprio, right? It's like, okay, it was cool for a minute, dude. And now you're just like the creepy old guy that's like trying to get young girls. And it's like, you're famous and you're an actor and you have money. So it's like, you can kind of do that on some level, but not really. And then imagine a normal person. Like, it's just, I don't know. So I just want, especially the girls, to hear like, the goal is get married, have babies, build a life with someone. And I don't care what anyone has to say. People could be like, oh, that's not fair. Like, you could have a great fulfilling life without any of that. And it's like, well, no, I'm here to say no. So I hope that Gen Z can really stay focused on what's important. You know, do you want to go on random dates for the next decade? I don't know. I didn't want to do that. And I was also like so keen on having babies that I was like, if I don't fall in love and get married, I'm at least having my babies. Like, I'll just go get a sperm donor and do it by myself. Like, I don't even care. But like, motherhood was very important to me. So I think really the moral of number six is just have your priorities, have your standards, and understand that like the noise out there is smoke and mirrors. Number seven, buy high quality clothes that will last and will be timeless. And I did this a little bit, but I didn't do it enough. But like, go for the classic pieces. And I feel like this is kind of like in style right now. Like, right now it's in style to have like timeless pieces, have neutral pieces, have that very like effortless, you know, oh, I just put on this tank with these jeans kind of vibe. So yay for that. But no matter what happens with trends and changes and like do this type of jean or that type of jean, like, you're never going to regret going for the timeless piece, you know? So invest in some nice blazers and some good basic t-shirts and tank tops and high quality denim that looks good on you, high quality shoes that like don't hurt your feet and actually take care of your foot and your knees and your, you know, like everything's attached. Like, you know, I'm not big on like designer stuff. So I don't think you need to have like a designer bag or whatever, but like a high quality bag that'll last, or high quality wallet that will last. Go for some jewelry pieces that will last a little bit longer. If they're, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, 100% gold, but like at least higher quality, where it's not like turning into a different color in two wears, you know. Go after some of the timeless dresses. I'll never forget, I bought one of my big commission checks from when I was in sales, and I was on my way down to Monterey to visit my best friend, and my boss called me and said, "Hey, good news, that big deal closed. Congratulations." And I was like, "Oh, awesome." And it was like a huge commission check. And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to celebrate." So we went like Carmel. We were like shopping. If you've ever been to Carmel, it's like cute little shops. And I bought a few things, but I'll never forget. I bought this strapless mini coral dress. And it was Theory brand, which is a good brand if you know it. And they actually have really good classic pieces, speaking of classic. And I'll never forget, my friend was like, "That's so expensive." It was like $375 or something like that. You know, like back then for being young, like that was like crazy. I mean, that's still like, even today, if I was to spend that much on a dress, I'd probably be like, "I don't know." But I was like, whatever, like I'm celebrating my big commission. And then I went home. My roommate said, like, "That you spent that much on that dress?" She was like, "That looks like you could like wear that at the beach." And she was so wrong, because it's like good material. It was so cute. I still to this day have this dress. I've worn it so many times. Like, I haven't worn it that much in the last few years because I haven't had anywhere to wear it to be honest, because it is strapless mini. But like, I wore it to like a friend's rehearsal dinner. I wore it wine tasting in Napa for one of my husband's friends' birthdays one year. Like, I wore it like to date night back in the day. Like, I literally wore this dress everywhere. Like, I have so many random pictures at random events and I'm like, there's the dress. But it goes back to that quality. If I would have bought that same dress cheap somewhere, it would have been in the garbage years ago. But because it's such good quality and such a good fit, I don't want to let it go. Like, even if I'm like, it's a little too short for me these days, or maybe I've gained a few pounds and it doesn't fit me as well, I'm still like holding on to that dress because I'm like, it's just a classic. It fits well. It's high quality. And I mean, one day maybe I'll give it to my granddaughter. Like, I don't know, but I'm keeping it. So look for pieces like that, pieces that you go, wow, it fits me well. It's classic. It doesn't have some crazy design, like, you know, patterns or whatever, you know, because I think patterns a lot of time will go in and out of style. But like, this dress is like a solid coral. I feel like I'm saying coral and you're not even like picturing it properly. It's almost like a red coral. I still think I'm saying it wrong. At this point, I really wish it was a video and I could like show you the dress with like pictures of me in it. But yeah, think about your closet in a more long-term fashion. Yes, your weight is going to change a little bit, but I promise you that if you're healthy and you're taking care of yourself, it's not going to change that much. Like, you can still wear the same blazer, you know, like you don't have to. And even if, you know, let's say 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you're a completely different size, but you still had those timeless pieces for 20 years, you know? So live to have that level in your closet. Number 8, go live somewhere new. Go live somewhere new. I wish someone would have told me this too. I wish I would have done this. I went to Sac State, which was an hour from home. I'm from the Bay Area. And I didn't really like Sacramento. I kind of just like put my head down. I worked hard. I went to school at 17. I graduated at 21. And as soon as I graduated, I was out of there. Like, I was back in the Bay Area. I was back home. And then I started working and hanging out with friends. And then I got a roommate. I got a place. I then met my husband and got married and had kids and started my business. Like, I don't know. It never really dawned on me to leave. It kind of did. Like, I remember thinking, like, if I was to live somewhere else, I'd go to New York. Like, I'd go to New York City. I would, you know, obviously this was the era of like Sex and the City. And I just was like, I should just go and like do a cool job at a magazine, or I don't know. But I never did it. And I think part of it was like, why? Like, I had like my whole family in the Bay Area and I had my friends, and I didn't see like a reason to like pick up my life and just go somewhere random. But now that I live in Nashville and I did pick up my life and move across country, I'm like, God, there's just so much to see and things are so different. Like, you know, people still ask me to this day, like, oh, like, are you happy in Nashville? Do you miss California? Da da da. And it's like, no, I don't. But if you would have asked me that before I moved here, I would have told you I'm never leaving the Bay Area. You know, like, we just don't know till we know. So even if it's like 3 months in the Caribbean, like, just go explore, go live somewhere else, make new friends, work a new job, like, live, you know, live away from your parents, like, just have that experience, even if it is short term. And I think some people leave for college, like, leave far, you know, but I think most of us stay close by. Like, a lot of us are incentivized to just go to college in the same state because it's cheaper. So we don't really get that experience. And I say, go do it. Go do it. You're young. You're not married. You don't have kids yet. You don't have any real responsibilities. Like, go get a job in Boston and go for a year. Like, just go explore, go come to Nashville. Like, do all the things, you know? Like, yeah. Number nine, understand that nothing will last forever. Enjoy the moment and remember that stress will never fix anything. So stop stressing. Stop stressing about the guy calling you. Stop stressing about the work situation. Stop stressing about every penny that comes and goes. You know, stop stressing about friendship conflicts and, you know, the weird coworker. Like, just stop it. Life is way too short. I promise you, whatever you're stressing about today, you will not be stressing about in 20 years from now, where I'm sitting. And your stresses will be much larger in 20 years. So you're young, enjoy it, stop freaking out about every little thing, and just manifest what you want. Go for it. You know, don't settle, don't freak out, and everything kind of falls into place. Honestly, I mean, yeah. So that was, I mean, another thing I wish someone would have like really told me. I mean, one thing I remember thinking very vividly after college, I had a couple years where I was single, and it was really like my only time to be single. I had a boyfriend senior year, then I had a boyfriend pretty much all through college, and then I was single for the first time. And I just remember telling myself, like, this is like your one time to just be alone. Because then you're gonna fall in love and you're gonna get married and you're gonna have babies. So this is your one time. And it's hard. It's hard when you're in it. And like, you know, I enjoyed being single for like a year or two, 3 years max. And then I was like over it. I was like, ugh, I don't wanna do this. I don't wanna like date random people. You know, I was getting sick of like the party scene. I was just kind of like, eh. Not my, you know, I mean, go, it's like, go figure. I'm not into partying. Like, that's, you know, from my high school stories, you could probably tell that anyways. But, and it's hard when you get into a place where you're like, I just want that person to be here now so I can just like chill on the couch and eat ice cream and watch a movie. But just know it's gonna come. And then when it comes, that stage of your life is over. So enjoy being single, enjoy, you know, the freedom while you have it. And then life changes. You get married, you have babies, you have big responsibilities. Not that like that stuff isn't beautiful, because it is, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, but don't waste your time stressing because Steve is not calling you back. Like, forget Steve and move on. You have high standards, you have manifested what you want, and leave the stress outside and enjoy your life, right? And quite frankly, that could go for any of us at any stage of life. So let's just all remember this as we're stressing about every little thing. Number 10, last one, number 10, This one's a tough one for me to say, but it's true. This podcast is for high achievers. It's for people that are pushing for the best, period. And I don't care if that means I have less listeners. This is a passion project for me. I'm not making any money on this podcast. I could care less how many people are listening. This is for people that really want to excel. They're not okay with average. They're not okay with above average. They are looking for the best of the best in all categories of their life, their health, their relationships, money, business, career, whatever, all the things. And one thing I've learned is that the more that you push, the more that you reach your goals, the more that you see success, the more that you manifest and go after things that you want, the more that you wake up every day and make your bed and floss your teeth every night, and the more that you become really focused on the important things for your life, the more you're going to see other people disappear. And it's really hard because I think that we're trained at a young age that, like, the more the merrier, right? Like, we're in school, it's all about like being cool with everyone, being friends with everyone, trying to be popular, trying to be liked. We're all kind of like doing the same thing, the same classes, the same life. And then at a certain point, people start making decisions that separate each other from each other. And if you are, again, goal-oriented, hardworking, you want all these things, it's going to be hard. You're going to see a lot of people in your rear view mirror. I mean, they're going to be behind you because you're going to be full steam ahead and they're okay with taking a break. They're okay with not doing it. They're okay with subpar. You're going to be in a place where you wake up every morning and you work out, and other people are going to be okay with gaining 30 pounds. Sorry, I said it. It's true. You know, you're going to get to a point where having healthy, meaningful relationships are going to be so important to you that all the other ones are going to go away. And so you might only have like four good people in your life instead of 40. But like, obviously, this is a good thing. Like, you want to push yourself, you want to be your best self, you want to be, you know, the cream of the crop, the top of the chart, the number 1%. But it's also hard because you have to understand that the more you excel, you're going to leave more and more people behind you. And you're going to go to lunch one day and be like, shit, I have nothing in common with this person. Like, it's going to happen. And while I'm saying this, by the way, when you get married, you do not have bridesmaids. You do not. Okay? That's such an old school thing. I wish I never did it. I love, you know, my bridesmaids. They're all amazing people. But like, if I could go back, it would have just been me and my husband, and all my friends and all my family would have just been at the wedding, and none of that hoopla. Like, we wouldn't have had like the matching dresses and all that. But you know, part of it is because life changes. You grow, you expand, you move on, and the person that is your closest and bestest friend, you might barely talk to in 20 years, in 10 years, or whatever. And it's a little sad and it's a little hard, and it's really easy when you're young to be like, oh, you're right. Like, me and Becky are going to be friends forever. But like, are you? You might not, you know? And that's okay because friendships come and go, friendships change. Some friendships you don't talk for 6 months and you're still cool. Some friendships are fizzle out. Some friendships last longer than others. Some are whatever. But just know that, you know, it's okay. It's hard a little bit. It can be a little lonely sometimes, but I promise you that as you keep pushing and as you keep really being the most authentic you, the most real you, the most, the best version of you, then you're going to find your people, you know, like that stuff will come. And if you end up with four friends that are outstanding, it's way better than 40 where that you're just like dumbing yourself down to be around, quite frankly. So it is what it is. But I do kind of wish I knew that when I was your age, when I was, you know, leaving high school, leaving college, when I was in that stage of like a bunch of friends and like everyone talked to everyone and everyone would go to happy hour and everyone would go out and everyone, you know, you worked a corporate job and everyone was friends. And like, I wish I would have known this, that like, hey, Sarah, like you're going to excel in a lot of things and you're not going to talk to most of these people ever again. That's the truth. And I guarantee there's at least one Gen Zer that is like, oh man, that's sad, but so true. But I think also if you know that, you're less prone to give a shit, you know? Because you're like, okay, cool. Like I've got all my friends. I do all the things. We vacation together. We party together. We work together. We do all, you know, we talk about the dates we go on and we have roommates, like whatever. But then you also can know in the back of your mind, like none of this necessarily will matter later as you fall in love and get married and have babies and like live your life. It's just like part of growing up, part of changing, and it's both hard and beautiful. So yeah, I hope that this list helped. I'm sure there are things I forgot, things I missed, but I think it's such a beautiful place to be in, to just be young. Like your whole life is a blank canvas, you know? And I graduated college at 21. I was in corporate for 10 years. At 31, I started my business, Lemon. I'm about to be 38. In September, and I don't know. I could totally see myself at 41 after 10 years of Lemon doing something else. Like I just feel like life is so cool because we get to make it what we want it to be, and it can always be changing. We no longer are in this world of like, you pick your company and you're loyal and then you retire and you take your pension and you die. You know, like that doesn't really exist anymore. So I think my generation has been figuring it out. I think Gen Z is next in figuring it out also very similarly. And then my little ones are Generation Alpha. And like, that's going to be a whole nother thing, you know, but I just think like, you can do and be anything you want to be. I tell my kids this every single day. You know, my little guy is obsessed with basketball. He knows all the NBA facts. He knows all the stats. He knows the NBA history. Like he is so dialed in. And I was like, dude, we need to get you on ESPN. Like you could literally be one of these guys that like talks at like halftime or before the game starts or after the game ends. And he like very seriously looked at me and he said, yeah, I'm obviously going to do that, but that's after I play in the NBA. And I was like, yeah, okay, yep. And I mean, who knows if he's ever going to play in the NBA or work at ESPN or SportsCenter or whatever. But like, I think all of us should have the confidence to understand that why not? Why not? You could do it. Go be whatever you want to be. Like literally, go try out to be a professional cheerleader tomorrow. Like go and, you know, interview for the job that you're not even qualified for. Like literally, who cares? Like what's the worst that's going to happen? They're not going to give you the job. You're not going to make the team. You're not like, okay. And then you move on. But it's so much better than wondering What if? Oh my gosh, you guys, you never want to wonder what if. You never want to wonder what if. Like, my life has been far from perfect. And, you know, God knows where I will be in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. But I don't ever say what if, because I kind of did whatever I wanted to do. Did you guys know I actually left my very successful sales job to go to a PR internship just because I was curious? And I ended up like not really liking it that much. I learned that PR is a lot of writing, which is not my forte. And I also learned that you don't make that much money in PR unless you own the agency. But I was like, whatever, at least I'm not going to wonder what if. Like, there was an opening, I interviewed, I got the job, I did it for 6 months, and then I moved on and I got, you know, my corporate job that I was at for years after that, you know. But it's like, don't ever let fear hold you back. Actually, let me add this one more thing I think is really important. Don't ever let fear dictate what you do. Period. That goes back to like the skincare thing I was telling you. They fear us into buying these products. Oh, if you don't use this cream that's $150, you're going to get wrinkles. Like, that's not true, right? Be your own critical thinker. Get smart. Stop being scared. Who cares if you ask the guy out and he turns you down? Stop being scared. Who cares if you show your standards and you don't respond to a guy, he disappears. Guess what? If he disappears, he was not the right one for you. Period. I was not planning on telling you guys this, but I am going to end with this. When me and my husband started dating, I wrote a long email with all of my concerns and all the things I'm unsure about in reference to him and me together. And I think most people would have been like, that's crazy. Most guys will run the other direction. But I was like, I don't care. If I send that email and his response is, I'm good, I'm not dealing with this girl, then good. I didn't waste my time. But he didn't. He read it. We talked about it. He told me maybe some things that he was thinking was concerned about. And obviously we stayed together. We got married and here we are. And it's like still like a funny story where we're like, hey, remember when I wrote you that email that was like kind of intense when we first started dating? But like, be that girl, be that boy, be that person that can literally say to someone like, these are my like non-negotiables. Like, I want to have 2 to 3 kids. If you don't want to have 2 to 3 kids, then we shouldn't be together. I want this level of lifestyle. And if you don't want to live this lifestyle, then we're not meant to be together. Like, have the balls to say to someone, this is what I'm worth and this is what I want. Whether that's dating, job, starting a business, you know, putting in boundaries with family members and friends. I mean, even with friends, like being able to say to friends, like, my expectation is X, Y, and Z from my friends. And if you can't do that, I don't want to be friends. Like, why? Like, that should be a very normal conversation. But I guarantee everyone's like cringing. Oh my God, you can't say that to someone. It's like, why? Why not? I have standards. I don't want to mess around with people I don't think are good friends, or that people that don't match my morals, you know? So if you take one thing away from this long episode, take away that you run through life with no fear. Run through life knowing that money is always coming. Don't be scared of your finances. Run your life knowing that love is coming. You're going to find the love of your life. And you're going to nourish that relationship. If we have fear, it will always hold us back. So you only live once. Like, let's not be scared of a single thing. And that includes saying what's on your mind, which is why I have this podcast, which is why I do what I do, because I'm not scared. And that's a wrap. No, I'm just kidding. No, it really is a wrap though. This was fun. This was fun. I really hope that there is at least one Gen Zer listening that's like, I got it. I'm absorbing everything she said. I'm about to dominate life. And then you hit me up in 10 years and let me know how it goes. Okay? Got it. Bye, guys.